The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Baalei Sichah. In Parshas Baalei Sichah, in Posuk Hey, the beginning of the Sedra, we have about the Levim. Let's spend this evening studying about the Levim. We'll quote a few of the Psukim. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Kach es ha-Levim yitech b'nei Yisrael. Take the Levim from amongst the b'nei Yisrael. This is Shevet Levi, the tribe of Levi. V'tihat ha-Isom, and purify them. V'chosase lohem letarum, and then the Torah goes through how you shall purify them. Then a little later, it states, "Vivdalta and posuk yudalet, vivdalta salavim itech bnei Israel. You shall separate the tribe of Levi from the children of Israel. Vohoyu li alvim, and the Levim shall be for me. Achrechein yavo alavim lavedes ohel meid, and then the Levim shall come and they shall work in the ohel meid, the mishkan, the sanctuary. Vitihata isom, and you shall purify them. Ki nesunim nesunim heima li." Because they are given to me, mitech b'nei Yisrael, from amongst the b'nei Yisrael. Tachas pitras kol rechem b'chol, kol mibnei Yisrael lokach teisom li. In place of the firstborn. Ki li kol b'chol b'nei Yisrael b'odem b'hemo. B'yem ha-krisis kol b'chol b'eretz Yisrael mikdash teisom li. Because by right, the firstborn of all of Israel and of all of the animals belong to me. Because I went through Egypt, I made a decree that all of the firstborn should be destroyed. And I saved the firstborn of Israel. That was when the Torah tells us that they should shecht, slaughter the Korban Pesach, the lamb or the goat, and they shall take its blood and put it on the mashkef, on the doorpost, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save them. So I made a decree that everyone, all of the firstborn should be destroyed, but I saved all of Israel. And therefore, according to the Shuras Hadin, according to what's right and wrong, they should belong to me because I saved them all, so therefore they're mine. But in place of the firstborn, I am taking the Levim. And I am giving the Levim nesunim l'Aaron and l'Avonav, to Aaron and his sons, mitech b'nei Yisrael, l'avedes avedes b'nei Yisrael b'el meid, in order to serve in the sanctuary, chaper al bnei Israel, in order to atone for the children of Israel. V'lo yeh b'bnei Yisrael negev b'geshes b'nei Yisrael al hakodesh, and in order that there should not be a magefa, a plague, on the bnei Israel when they will come close to the sanctuary, because the Levim will be there to stop them, to guard, and to do the work necessary in the sanctuary. And then the Torah tells us that Moshe and Aaron did as they were commanded. So here we have the parsha of the Kichas Alevim, the taking of the tribe of Levi, and the Havdolas Alevim, the separation of the tribe of Levi, and they should be set aside L'shores B'Hashem to serve for Hashem and to help Aaron and the Kohanim. So tonight, let's go into, try to understand a little more about the Levim. Who was Levi? Levi was the third son of Yaakov Avinu. Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. And these sons were born to Yaakov from Leor. And when they went down to Egypt, years later, Yaakov went down to Egypt to be reunited with Yosef. And he took with him 70 people. So there the Torah tells us, in Vayigash, Mem Vav Yud Aleph, yeah. Memvav Yud Aleph, where it lists who were the 70 that went down, states of Bnei Levi. Levi went down, 12 sons, and the children of Levi. Levi had 3 sons, Gershon, Kohos, Umrori. So Levi had 3 sons. His oldest was Gershon, the next one was Kohos, and the next one was Merari. And they were amongst the Shivim Nefoshes, the 70 souls that went down from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, to be reunited with Yosef. Now all 3 of these sons, they grew into large families. They had children and grandchildren, and they became an entire family. All 3 of these sons now, the 3 sons of Levi, were all given particular responsibilities. What were the responsibilities of Kohos? This was the middle son. So this, the Torah tells us in Bamidbar, which we learned a few weeks ago, Dalet, Bamidbar Dalet, Pasuk Dalet. The responsibilities, the work of the Bnei Kos shall be in the sanctuary, Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Rashi says, his work will be more sanctified than everyone else, even though he wasn't the oldest son, he was the middle son. More sanctified than everyone else, he will be working with the Oren and the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbochis, Preichis, Klishoris. He will be working. But the holiest of all of the objects. What will he do? States of Arein Uvanov, Binsei HaMachne. When the sanctuary was to be moved from one place to the other, then they had to dismantle the sanctuary. So first Arein would come with his sons. Just for a bit of clarification here, Arein was also from the Levim. Aaron and Mesha, and they happened to be from the family of Kohos. We'll go into that a little later. They were from the Levim, and they were Levim. They had Kedushas Levi, but they had another Kedusha also. Aaron's family was separated. Aaron and his sons were separated to be Kohanim. So actually we have 3 Kedushas. We have Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctification that every Jew has, and he was separated from all of the other nations and given the Torah and the 613 mitzvahs. Then you have a second sanctification, a Kedushas Levi, that Levi and his sons were separated. And then you had have a third sanctification, and that one family, one particular family, not from the original families of Levi, but later on, was again subdivided, was again separated, and that was Aaron and his sons. And they were becoming the Kohanim. So the Kohanim actually had 3 Kedushas. They had a Kedushas Kohuna, they had a Kedushas Levi, and Kedushas Yisrael. So when it came time to move the sanctuary, the Mishkan, from one place to the other, no one was allowed to go into the Mishkan and to handle the holy objects, such as the Oren, where the Sefer Torah was kept, or the altar, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or the menorah, or the shulchan, the table, and so forth. No one was allowed, except Aaron and his family, only the Kohanim. And if anyone else did it, there was a very serious punishment for it. So they would go, Vo Aaron uvonav, Aaron and his sons would go, Vaheridu es preiches amosach. What would they do? They would take the preiches, the curtain, which divided between one chamber and the other, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in front of the Oren, and the Vichisuba is Aren Hoidus, and they would cover up the Oren with this preches. Benosno lov kisu otachash, and then they would put another cover over it, uforse begit kiril tchelis lamalamolo, and another garment over it, the somo badov, and then they would make it carryable. The same thing they would do to the shulchan, to the table. They would have special covers which would be made of various materials which were set aside for this. and they would completely cover up the shulchan, the table, and all of the objects of the table with several covers. And so would they do with the menorah, and so would they do with the altar, the mizbeach, and so would they do with all of the holy objects, all of the kli kodesh. Then in Pasuk Tesvov it states, V'chila Aaron uvonav lechaseis es hakodesh. When Aaron and his sons would finish taking all of these holy objects and completely covering them with the specified covers, then achreichein yevol v'nei kos, then the family of Kohos would come in, v'seis, to carry. V'leyigu el hakodesh v'mesu, and they wouldn't touch any of the objects outright. They would all be in their covers. This was the caring of the family of Kohos, who was the middle son of Levi. And later on, at the end of the Parshas Midbar, it states, you must be very careful that you shall not cause harm to this family, because it was very dangerous work, because they had to come and carry these holy objects, and they were not allowed to touch them outright, and they were not even allowed to be there as they were being covered up. So therefore, Zeis asu lehem v'choyu, this is what you must do in order they shall live v'leyamusu, and they shall not die b'gishtam es kodesh hakadoshim, when they come to the most holiest parts of the Mishkon. Aaron uvonav yaveil v'someisam ishi shal avidosav yal masov, that first Aaron and his children must come to cover them all up property. And not the children, of course, should come in and see. They shouldn't come in prematurely and see all of this being done, and then there would be a heavenly death penalty upon them if they would. So the Torah tells us, be cautious. At any rate, this was the responsibility of the family of Kohos. What was the responsibility of the family of Gershon? This the Torah tells us right after this, in the next Parshas Nosei, which we learned 2 weeks ago. At the beginning of Parshas Nosei, Dalet Posechov Dalet. Excuse me, last week. Zeis Avodas Mishpachos HaGershuni La'avod U'Lemaaseh. This is the responsibility of the family of Gershuni, it's Gershon, to do and to carry. V'nosu es yiriyah isha mishkon. They shall carry the yiriyahs. The mishkon was made of heavy, very heavy beams lined up next to each other. But covering the beams were yiriyahs. The yiriyahs were made of soft material, see, not wood. They were made of tchelis, vargomon. The inner ones were made of wools or of linens. And then the outer ones were made of skins. So these were the yiriyos. They shall carry the yiriyos hamishkon and the ohel meid, mikseihu, and they shall carry the covering which covers the top. And the mosach, and they should carry some of the screens, the curtains, the kalalei hachotzer, the courtyard of the mishkon. Also had a soft material which created the structure of the courtyard. They shall carry all of this. Zeis avodas mishpachos b'nei ha-Gershoni ba'el meid. This is the responsibility of Gershon. What was the responsibility of the third son, the youngest, Merari? This the Torah tells us right afterwards in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. V'zeis mishmeres masom. This is the responsibility of the charge of Merari. L'chol avodosav b'el meid karshei mishkon. They shall carry the beams. The mishkon itself, the sanctuary itself, was made with heavy kroshim, heavy beams, very heavy. They're very high. They're very tall, 10 amos. And they were lined up immediately next to each other. They have to carry these beams. Uvrichov, they had staves that went horizontally along the walls. to hold the beams together. Vamuda Vadomav. They went into silver foundations, the beams, which also were very heavy, very heavy. They had to carry all of the Adonav, all of these foundations. Amudei Achotzer, they carried the pillars, the wooden pillars, which were in the courtyard, Soviv, Va'anehem, and also their foundations. You say, Desehem, and Mesrehem, Lechol Klehem. Zeis Avodas Mishpachais B'nei Merorim. This was the charge, the responsibility of the B'nei Merori. So we could summarize by saying that Kohos, this family, was in charge of transporting the Kli HaKodesh, the holy objects, the Oren and the Shulchan and the Menorah and so forth. The family of Gershon, they were in charge of transporting all of the software of the Mishkan. The skin coverings, the skin or the woolen walls and so forth. Merari, they were in charge of carrying all of the hardware of the Mishkan. The actual beams and the pillars and the staves and the silver foundations and so forth. These were their charges. Now we can understand what we also learned last week in Parshas Naso by the Hakrovas Anasim. When it came time to sanctify the Mishkan and the Mizbeach and the altar, so the Nosi, which was the prince of every tribe, 12 of them, and each day brought a gift. And in Parshas Naso, in Parshas Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, what did they bring? It states, "Vayoviu es korbonim lifnei Hashem." The 12 princes brought before Hashem sheish egle sov, 6 covered wagons, ushnei osor boker, and 12 cattle, 12 oxen. That means that each nasi brought one ox and one wagon between two nasi, two princes. So a total of 6 wagons and 12 oxen, and 2 oxen to pull each wagon. Vayema Hashem el Moshe lemor. And Hashem said to Moshe, kach meiton, take this from them and give it to the Levim, give it to these 3 families, to Kos and to Gershon and Merari, or give it to the Levim, each kifi avedosoi, each one in accordance to his particular task. So it states, Vayikach Moshe sagoles v'saboker. So Moshe took the wagons and the cattle, the oxen, Vayitein Hashem Levim, he gave them to the Levim, but he did not divide them up equally. Eshtei ha'agoles v'sarba saboker, 2 wagons with 4 oxen, he gave to Gershon. See? Only 2 wagons and 4 oxen. 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave to Merari. Kfi avedosu. Livnei kohos, he didn't give any. Lei noson. Ki avedis ha'kodesh aleihem b'kosev yisou. To kohos he didn't give any, because since Kohos's task was to carry the Kli HaKodesh, the holy objects of the Mishkan, they had to carry them on their shoulder. So therefore they didn't need any wagons with oxen. So he didn't give them any. To Gershon, he only gave 2 wagons. Why? Because Gershon carried all of the software of the Mishkan. They carried all of the Yerioys, all of the coverings and so forth. And therefore it wasn't so heavy. So 2 wagons were sufficient. To Merari, who carried all of the heavy ware of the Mishkan, the beams and the foundations, so to them he gave 4 wagons. And then the respectful amount, the respectable amount of oxen. So in other words, the six wagons, he didn't divide equally. He gave none to Kohos, because Kohos were carrying the Kli HaKodesh, and that they had to carry on their shoulders. He gave only two to Gershon, because they were carrying the light, the software of the Mishkan, and he gave four to Merari, because they were carrying the heavyware. And this Rashi explains there. Now this was the task of the Levim, which these three families made up the entire Levim. However, this was not their task forever. Why? Because this was relevant only when the Mishkan was moved from one place to the other. And that was only during the 40 years in the desert, or after they came into Eretz Yisrael, until finally they found a permanent home for the Mishkan. After they came into Eretz Yisrael, they came to a place called Shiloh, and the Mishkan was there for a long time, so then this wasn't relevant. And once they came to Yerushalayim, and David HaMelech found the proper place in Yerushalayim for the Mishkan and the Har HaBayis, and his son Shlomo made the Beis HaMikdash, which was the extension of the Mishkan, and then we were never allowed to move that place, so then all of this no longer was relevant. So therefore, this Aveda Lamaso, this task of carrying, this was only when the Mishkan was transported from one place to the other. So what then was the work of the Levim, the task of the Levim after that? Or not only after that, but otherwise, what was it? So that the Gemara brings that they had three other tasks. What was it? The Shemrim HaMishkan. They were Shemrim, as it states, Mishmeres. It was their job to guard the Beis HaMikdash and the sanctuary. Not only to guard it, to see that nothing was damaged or stolen, but more than that, to guard it, to see that no one came to the Mishkan that was not allowed to, because there was a heavenly punishment, a severe one. There were many places where a regular Yisrael was not allowed to go, and if he did go, something could happen to him. So therefore it was their job to watch out that he wouldn't go. So one of their tasks was Shemrim. Another one of their tasks was Shoyarim. Shoyarim means that they kept the gates. They were the ones who opened the gates and closed the gates. And the third task was Mishayrim. They sang. The Levim sang in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash during the time of the Korbonis every day. So they had these three tasks. So these three tasks were all the time. The Avoda Lamaso, to transport, this was only during the time the Mishkan was transported. That was a good many hundred years, because even after they went to Eretz Yisrael, it was a long time until finally they found the proper place for the Beis HaMikdash a long time later. But that was not forever. This very concisely outlines for us what their tasks were, and these three families, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, who were the sons of Levi, who was one of the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu. Now there's a number of things that we can learn from these psukim in Parshas Bahaleischo. Let's just make mention of them. Moshe was told, "Kach es Levim," in Posik Vov, "Kach es Levim mitech bnei Yisrael." Take the Levim from the midst of bnei Yisrael, v'tihata yisom, and purify them. Take is a Hebrew word which means to physically take. So, if I give you a book and I tell you take it, you can do it. If I give you a table and I tell you take it, so you carry it out. But here we're talking about Kach es Levim, that he should take the Shevet, the whole tribe of Levi. What does it mean, Kach? take. He cannot. Moshe didn't physically lift up the whole child of Levi and give them over to Aaron. So Rashi brings Kochem Bedvorim. Don't take them physically. So why does it say Kach? Take them with words. In other words, say inspiring words to them that will make them want to come. Just like when you take something, so you move it from one place to another. Motivate them with words. This was the mitzvah given to Moshe, Kach es Leviim. Motivate them with words. What words? Ashreichem shetisku liyei shamoshim lamokam. Ashreichem, how fortunate you are that you are being zeche, you have the merit to become shamoshim lamokam, to become servants to Hashem. In other words, kicho means to move something from one place to the other. You must motivate them in order that they should go do this. In order that they shouldn't think, I don't want to do this. It's a burden. I don't want it. Or for other reasons. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Kach, Kochem Bedvorim. Motivate them with words. Which words? Ashreichem, Shetisku Liyei Shamoshim Lamokum. How fortunate you are to have this charge, because you are becoming Shamoshim Lamokum, servants to the Almighty. We find this in other places in the Torah. Another place we find this, very similar, not so much by servants to the Almighty, but to lead and serve Klal Yisrael. We find it in a Seder we'll be laying soon in Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas, Chof Zayin, Yud Ches. Moshe told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I am to die and not to go into Eretz Yisrael, then you must choose a leader to take my place, to not leave Klal Yisrael like Sein Shein Lemareya, the sheep that do not have a shepherd. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayema Hashem al Moshe, Kach lecho es Yeshua bin Nun. Take to yourself Yeshua bin Nun. Now what's Kach? Kach again is the same thing. That means to take him. You're not physically going to take him. So what does it mean? So Rashi brings, Kach nu bidvorim. Motivate him with words. Ashrecho shezochiso lahanig bonav shel mokum. Fortunate that you have been zeche to lead the sons of the Almighty. Because someone might come, what are you coming to me with the mantle of leadership? Yeah, I don't want it. It's a headache. It's trouble. I'm happy without it. No. Kach. Ashrecho shezochiso liyos manig lahanig bonav shel mokum. That how fortunate you are to lead the sons of the Almighty. We have it in the third place. At the beginning of Sefer Dvorim, Moshe is saying, this is in Dvorim Aleph Pasuk Tes Vov, Vo'ekach es roshei shivteichem, and I took the heads of the Shvotim of the tribes, Anoshim Chachomim Miduim, men of wisdom that were known, and I made them Roshim. I made them heads. This was by the appointment of Dayonim, of judges. When I saw that I could not judge the people all of myself, so I took those people that were wise and known to you, and I appointed that they shall be the judges, they shall be Roshim, they shall be the heads. So again, there is the word Vo'ekach, I took, I physically took. How did he physically take? See, here Rashi brings Moshachtim Bidvorim. I drew them with words. Ashreichem, fortunate are you. Al mi bosem lismanes. Who are you coming? Who are you being appointed leaders over? Al bnei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, the children of Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, al bnei Odom shenikra achim bereim, and people that are called brothers and friends. I took them with vorim, I inspired them, I drew them with words. Now this is a very important principle. Many times that people have the attitude that if they do something for themselves, they're inspired to do it. If they're doing it for themselves, they're very inspired. But to do it, if it's not for themselves, to do it for the community, something which is a communal effort, to do it for the shul, to do it for Klal Yisrael, for other Jews, to do it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not for me. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that you have to make clear to them. Ashreichem shezochiso liyesh hamoshim lamokam. That how meritorious are you that you're becoming shamoshim lamokam. What were the Levim? The Levim were shamoshim lamokam. They served HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should know that not everyone has that schus. When it came to Yeshua to lead Klal Yisrael, he said, you should know, not everybody has that schus. That schus to lead the Klal Bonim Shel Mokom, the children of the Almighty. When he appointed judges, he says, not everyone has that schus to judge, to take care of Bonim Shel Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov, the children of Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov. Many times when it comes to, you have to do something, see. No, you don't want to do it. Let someone else worry about it. Let someone else worry about the shul. Let someone else worry about putting the svarim away. Let someone else worry about keeping an eye on things. There's something wrong in the shul, or there's something wrong in here or there. Someone else will worry about it, see? That's for people that don't understand. It's for people that don't understand. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. Because this is a shamoshim lamokam. Any work that you do for yourself, you're doing it for yourself. But this is lamokam. This you're doing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or this you're doing for the Bnei Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov. Not everyone is able to this. This is what Moshe told the Levim. See, this is what Moshe told the Levim. Many times you find, I've seen it many times, you'll find sometimes, it's usually like that. You have a shul, or you have some other communal organization, and you see it becomes, many times it becomes forsaken. It's an old shul. People stop coming. It's forsaken. Usually one person, two people, that'll keep an eye on things. An old shul, he'll make sure that the roof is repaired. This person, he'll make sure that the Sifrei Torah are proper. He'll make sure that someone will come in to clean. But if by everyone else, look, someone else is watching after it. What do I have to bother myself? And sometimes they say, Nebuch, you know, he's becoming a shamoshim lamokum. He's the one that knows. Because here he is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is taking care of what belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or he is taking care of what belongs to the Bnei Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Now the Levim is one of the highest posts in Klal Yisrael. And this is how Hashem commanded Moshe to speak to them. Let them know what they're doing. That how fortunate you are that you will be the Shamoshim Lamokum and not others. Others will not be. You will be. Others are not allowed to. If Yisrael wants to come in and do a job of a Levi, the punishment could be very severe. They're not allowed to carry the Kli Kodesh. They're not allowed to be Mesheira, to sing, or to guard. But you are the ones. Let them know that. That it's not an old, it's not a burden. It's not a job that has to be done, and if someone else does it, noch besser, it's better. It's a schus. And you were the ones that were Zeichel. That's one point. Another point we learn is it states in in Balei Sicho, in our parsha, states in Posuk Yutes, Ve'et Nosalvim, I will give the Levim, the Sunim, the Aaron and the Levonim, given to Aaron and to his sons, Mitech B'nei Yisrael, from the B'nei Yisrael, La'averis Averis B'nei Yisrael, that they shall do the work of the B'nei Yisrael, Ba'el Meir, in the sanctuary, Ul'chapir al B'nei Yisrael, to atone for the B'nei Yisrael, V'lo'yeh B'nei Yisrael Negev, and therefore there won't be a plague to the children of Israel, B'geshes B'nei Yisrael ala Kodesh, that the B'nai Israel will have to go into the Kodesh. They won't have to because the Levim will do it. So therefore they'll save them from this plague. Now if you look into this Pasuk, there seems to be an awful lot of repetition. And if you examine the Pasuk, it states B'nai Israel five times. In that Pasuk it states the children of Israel five times. Take B'nai Israel, Avedis B'nai Israel, Al B'nai Israel, Lo'yeh B'nai Israel, B'geshes B'nai Israel ala Kodesh. And it's very strange. Rashi brings from Bereishis Rabba five times La'idia Chibosan to tell us the how beloved the B'nai Yisrael is to Hashem. That he repeated the B'nai Yisrael here five times, like the five Chamush, like the five Chumshei Torah, like the five books of Moses, to compare them to the Sefer Torah. That's why five times are they repeated. The Maral in his Gurai asks the question, but why in this Posuk? If you want to tell me that the B'nai Yisrael are so dear, five times, like the five books of Moses, Chamisha Chum Sheteira, but why in this Posuk? He tells us something very important. Here Moshe is instructing the Levim how important your charge is. You're becoming Shamoshim Lamokim. You're serving the Almighty. And what will you do? You'll be like it states in this Posuk, Lechaper, you will bring atonement on Israel. And you will guard Israel. Because if you'll do your job, then they won't have to come near the Mishkan and there won't be a Magefa. There won't be a plague. Because if the Israel comes too close to the Mishkan, there can be trouble. So you're guarding them. So now the Torah wants to communicate to the Levim what it means to atone for Klal Yisrael and to guard Klal Yisrael. Do your task carefully. Because who are you guarding? The B'nai Yisrael. The B'nai Yisrael are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a Sefer Torah. And we see this in Halacha. He brings. The Gemara brings that Ha'emer al Yitzias HaNefesh is Chayv L'Kreya. If someone is standing next to a person at the time of the death, then he has to make Kriyam. He has to rent a garment. Even if he's not related to him. If it was the time when he, at the time of Yitzias, Yitzias Neshama, at the time when his soul departed from him, he has to rent his garment. Mora says, why? Because it's like seeing a Sefer Teresh in Israf. To see a Jew die is the same as seeing a Sefer Teresh being burnt. And just like if one would see, heaven forbid, a Sefer Teresh being burnt, he'd have to rent his garment. Therefore, the same thing when he sees a Jew die. Rashi explains why. He says, because a Jew also is a Sefer Torah. A Jew learns Torah. What's wrong when the Sefer Torah is burnt? Because the Sefer Torah becomes destroyed. A Jew dies, also becomes destroyed. Why? No longer can he learn Torah. No longer can he learn Torah. A Jew that's living is like a Sefer Torah, because he can learn Torah. Once he dies, then it's like a Sefer Torah that becomes burnt. Therefore, chayv likraya, you have to rent your garment. So we see that a Jew is like a Sefer Torah. Therefore, here the Torah repeats B'nei Yisrael five times to tell us that he's like the Chamisha Chumshe Torah, the five books of Moses. And in this pasuk, because Moshe is communicating to the Levim how important their task is, that they should serve the Almighty and they should guard Yisrael, and guard Yisrael is guarding a Sefer Torah. So this also is something very important for us, that when we deal with another Jew, we have to know that we're dealing with a Sefer Torah. When it comes to a Sefer Torah, every Jew has the greatest honor. When it comes to another Jew, not necessarily so. It's not so. That when you come and you deal with another Jew, you talk to him, and you have interactions with him, it must be with the same respect than when you're dealing with a Sefer Torah. This also is very important. Then, another point. The next pasuk tells us, Zeis asher lalvim. This is a pasuk Chof Daleth. This is what the Levim shall do. Miben chomesh ve'esrim shona v'mala. From 25 years old, yovel litzvot tzovo. They should go into their work, their charges, ba'avedis oil maid, for the work of the oil maid, at 25. Miben chamishim shona, and once they're 50, yoshuv mitzvah ha'avedo. Then they should return from their work, they should not work anymore. Rashi asks that if you look in Bamidbar Dalet, the psukim we were quoting in Bamidbar Dalet, there it states miben shleishim shona, from 30. So why does it say 25 here? So the truth is it's 30. At 30 they start, and at 50 they finish. Why? And as we'll see in a minute, this is referring to explicitly just the family of Kohos. See, only the family of Kohos. Family of Kohos only worked for 20 years. Not before 30 and not after 50. Why? Because the family of Kohos, Bakosiv Yisou, they had to be very strong. They carried all of the Kli HaKodesh, and on their shoulders they didn't get any wagons or oxen. And the Mishnah in Masechet Ovis tells us that a person does not reach his mature strength until 30 years old. And from 30 to 50, he's at the peak of his strength. Before 30, he's not at the peak of his strength yet. And after 50, he is no longer at the peak of his strength. Therefore, for the Bnei Kohos, they were not eligible for this work until they were 30. And at 50, they had to retire from this work. Today, unfortunately, the health books write that people are deteriorating in their early 20s. And this is because of our lifestyle, with all of the junk foods, a lack of exercise, and stresses, and worries, and everything else. But it's not supposed to be that way. Fact is, a man in his 40s is considered an old man. When it comes to sport, they send him out to pasture long before then. It's not supposed to be that way. That a 20-year-old has not reached yet his strength. Even late 20s. Ben Shleishim Lakeach, he has not reached his strength until 30. And he carries that till 50. From 30 to 50 are the strongest years of his life. Therefore, the Bnei Kohos were eligible for this from 30 to 50. If this is the case, so why 25, does it say? In Bamidbar it says 30. Why here 25? So Rashi brings the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara says they had to learn all of the halachas. There were many, many halachas. So there was a special yeshiva for Levim. Special yeshivas for Levim and Kahanim. They would go to learn by the other Levim and other Kahanim and be taught all of the intricate halachas. And they would go on for 5 years. So 25 years they would start to study the halachas. a Ben Levi. And at 30, he would start to carry. Another thing we learn from here. He was given only 5 years. If he mastered all of the halachas in 5 years, then at 30, he went in. If he could not master in 5 years, then he was disqualified. Mikan, from here we see, Shetalmud Shaleirosim and Brocha, the Chomeshonim Shuvenareya. From here we learn that if someone sees success in his studies within 5 years, then he can know that he will be successful. If someone studies for 5 years and he doesn't see any success in 5 years, then he will not be successful. He will not be successful. In other words, 5 years is a sufficient trial. A person, you must give a sufficient trial. Many times people start things and then they quit. You have to give it a good try. But 5 years is enough. Therefore, from 25, they went into the special groups, yeshivas, to study the halachas of the Levim. And those that saw Simon Brocha, those that had Atzlocha in that 5 years, so by 30 years old, they started to go an actual carry. Those that didn't in 5 years, then they had to do something else. What did they do? So, with a yeshiv bottle, see? Doesn't mean like our civilization, that they go after 50, you go into a retirement village and watch the grass grow. Now, v'sheiris esechov ve'elmei lishma mishmeres v'aveda le'yavod kochet asa levi b'mishmeresihem. They were retired only from the heavy carrying of the family of Kohos, but they were still qualified for everything else. In other words, they could help the Bnei Merari, or they could help the Bnei Gershuni, because they didn't have to carry so much, they just had to load the wagons. So they were strong enough to load the wagons. Or Lishira, for singing they were still good. Singing they were good as long as their voice was good. Or Shemrim, to guard. Or Shoarim, to watch the gates. This they were still good for. And this is what the Rashi brings. Lo Yaveir Od, what does it mean? Averis Masa Makosev. That after 50, no longer can they carry, are they eligible to carry on their shoulder? They had to walk long distances. See? The whole trek was from long distances, so the Kohosim had to carry it all on their shoulders. This they couldn't do anymore. Avrochezehul and Nila Shorim, Ulashir, Ulitein Agolis. And this is what it means, Vesheiris Esechov, that they should work together with their brothers. Now, this is the illustrious family of Levi and his special task, where he was separated from all of the other Shvatim. It's difficult to say who was the greatest Shevet, who was the greatest son of Yaakov. It's very difficult to say, because all 12 were so great. And each one was great in their aspect. Yehuda from Yehuda, like we spoke of Shavuos and Rus, from Yehuda came Malachim, came the kings. Yosef was Yosef HaTzadik, Binyamin, and Binyamin's territory, the Beis HaMikdash, was built. But there's no doubt that the special one was Levi. And he was separated, set aside, and given special tasks. And from Levi, within Levi, came Kahanim, Kahuna. Right? So there's no doubt that Levi had his distinction amongst all of the 12 sons. Now let's just go for a few minutes and trace his background a bit. Why was he called Levi? If we look in Parshas Vayetze, Pasuk Lamed, Vayetze Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, states Vatar Od, Vatelet Bein, and Leah conceived again, And she gave birth to a son. This was son number 3. First she gave birth to Reuben, then she gave birth to Shimon, now to Levi. Vatomer, and she said, Ato hapam, Yilovi ishi elai. Now this time, my husband will Yilove. Yilove comes from the word Malave, Levaya, escort. The Targum says, Yishabeli, associate. Now my husband will definitely associate with me, Kialadati Laishleshavonim, because I have given him 3 sons. Alkein Karosh my Levi, therefore the name was called Levi. From the word Yilove, to come close to escort, to join. What did she mean? Rashi brings that the Imamos were Nevi'osein. The Imamos were prophetesses. She knew that Yaakov was destined to have 12 sons. Now that she gave birth to 3, so now no one can have any complaints against her. She has given birth to her portion of the 12 sons. And the 12 sons, this was the structure of the nation of Israel. She has given birth to her portion of the nation of Israel. Before Leah suffered, because Yaakov was not happy. He was deceived, and really he came for Rochel, and he loved Rochel more, and so forth and so on. So Leah went through a great suffering, and she felt Yaakov had complaints. He had complaints, he had criticism, he was estranged, and so forth. Ato, now, Yilove Ishi, Ato Apam, now, my husband will definitely have a full association with me. Ato now, Chodazim Ravamad, Chodazim Ni Ischabeli Vali. Now my husband will be close to me. No longer can he have any complaints or criticism. Because even if I have no more children, she didn't realize she was going to have more. Even if I'll have no more, I have contributed my share to the building of Israel. And therefore he was called Levi. We see that the name itself represents, what does it represent? Ischabrus, a chibur. Levi represented Shechina. Levi was Nivdal, he was set aside, lo shores lashem, lashom, shamoshim namokem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Their job was to guard and take care of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. The fact is, where did they camp? They camped on 3 sides. Each family camped on one side. They camped on 3 sides right next to the Mishkan. So Levi was the Baal Shechina. He was close to the Almighty. And we see that another distinguished gentleman came from Levi. And this was Aaron. And from Aaron's sons were the Kohanim. And Aaron particularly was Eisek in Shechina. His job was is to bring a chibur, to join Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Avedis HaKorbonus, all of the sacrifices, the word korban comes from the word korav, to bring close Klal Yisrael to the Almighty. The Mishnah Novice tells us, be from the disciples of Aaron, Eiv Sholem V'Reidiv Sholem. Aaron was trying to bring everyone together. Eiv Esateiru Mekarven, Eiv Esabriyesu Mekarven Torah. He loved people and he brought them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, close to Torah. So this was Levi. And it came from his very source. Because he was the 3rd son. And through the 3rd son, now Yaakov would be reunited with Leah. Therefore he was the son that would unite Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one step further, when Yaakov was reunited with Leah, no longer could he have any tainus. He couldn't have any complaints, any claims. When Yaakov was united with Leah, so that created Shechina. Because it states, Ish Ishtai, Ish V'Ishta, if they're Sholem, Shechina Shruya B'Neihem. A man and a wife if there's shalom, if there's peace and love between them, then the Shekhinah is there. So before there was a lack in the Shekhinah. Because of the estrangement, there was a lack in the Shekhinah. Through Levi, the Shekhinah came back. Ato hapam yilovi ishi yishabru ishi. Now my husband will come back to me. So the Shekhinah was brought back. So Levi at his very birth was to become a Baal Shekhinah, the person to bring in Shekhinah. So we see right from his beginnings he was destined for this. Also it's brought, it doesn't say that she called him. By all the other sons it says the mothers called him, Vatikra. Here it doesn't say Vatikra, like it says for example by or Kora, Shema Yehuda. But it says Al Kain Kora. Rashi brings that there's a Medrash Agodo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave Levi the name. He knew Levi was special and he gave him this name. So this is the beginning of Levi. But like everything else in life, we must remember. See, people think that great people were born that way and they came that way by themselves. Not true. Many people are born with great opportunities. Great opportunities. But more than the number that succeed, fail. It's only a few of them that succeed. Moshe was born with great opportunities, but there are many people that are born with opportunities. The majority don't succeed. Those that succeed, only through tremendous toil and labor and tremendous determination and self-perfection all through their lives. So it wasn't that this is how Levi was born and he just became that way. No, it wasn't so easy. The fact is, Levi, in his early years, was not to be classified as such a good son. Yaakov had strong complaints on him, strong complaints. All of them were righteous, all of the Yud Beis Shvatim. This the Chazal tell us, not like the sons of Avraham. Avraham had a righteous son and he had a wicked son, Ishmael. And not like Yitzchok, that he had Yaakov and he had Esav. Yaakov, they were all kulam tzadikim, they were all righteous. But many times they did things totally wrong. It was, they thought they were doing right. They might have been motivated by good ideals, or by, they might have been motivated by good will, but it was wrong. And Levi did many things wrong in his life, serious things wrong in his life. And this shows even his, this is even a testimony, a greater testimony to his greatness. For example, In Parshas Vayishlach, Lamed Aleph Chaf Hei, there we have the episode of where Shechem, the king of Shechem, Shechem and Hamor, Yaakov was traveling back and Shechem went and abducted Dinah. Abducted Dinah and he wouldn't give her back. So Yaakov was thinking of ways, of diplomatic ways how to deal. In the meantime, Levi, Shimon and Levi, these were the two brothers because they were right next to each other, Reuven, Shimon and Levi. Shimon and Levi told the city that we'll let you keep her, but you must take all of your males and they must be circumcised. On the third day when they were suffering from the pain of the milah, the two sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, Achei Dina, the brothers of Dina, they took Ish Harbay, they each took their sword, and they came with confidence into the city, and they killed off every male of the city. And Hamor and Shechem, they also killed. And they not only that, they went over all of the corpses and they emptied out the city. They took the sheep and they took the cattle and they took the donkeys and everything in the city and everything in the field they took. And they took all of the children and they took the women and they took all the slaves. And Yaakov was very upset over this. He said, how could you do such a thing? They said, look, Vayemru Hagazeni Yases Achisenu, that we will let them treat our sister like a harlot. Yeah. But Yaakov was very upset over this. Very. And later on, he cursed their wrath in his final brochas that he was giving them on his deathbed. He cursed their wrath for it. This is one episode. There's another episode. In Parshas Vayeshev, Yaakov told Yosef, this was his favorite son, he told Yosef, go and see how your brothers are doing. They were in another place with the sheep. So in Lamed Zayin Yud Ches it states, Vayirei Semei Rochek, they saw him coming from far away, V'terem Yikrav Aleihem, and before he came close, V'yishnat Leisei Lamisei, they started to discuss strategies of how to kill him. They were very much against Yosef because they held Yosef was usurping. He wanted to become king. He was getting too close to Yaakov, and Yaakov had a favorite eye for him, and he wanted to become the king. And meanwhile, they knew that Yehuda was to be the king. Vayemru Ish al Ochiv, and one man said to his brother, now, who's Ish al Ochiv? Ish al Ochiv, the Chazal tell us, we'll see why a little in a minute, but Ish al Ochiv, the Chazal tell us, is Shimon to Levi. Shimon to Levi. Vayemru Ish al Ochiv, Hine Balach Alemes al Ezebo. The dreamer is coming, Vator Lechuve Nahagehu. Let us go and kill him. Benashlicheu Bachara Beiris. And we will throw him in one of the pits. And we will say, Chayero Achasu, that a wild animal has torn him. Reuven came to the rescue. And later on, Yehuda came to the rescue. But Shimon and Levi were ready to kill Yosef. Now, we said they were kulam tzaddikim. How could they be tzaddikim? Here they're involved in such murder, shvichas domim. They were kulam tzaddikim because whatever they did, technically they had a right to do. The law was on their side. Technically, they had a right to do whatever they did. We don't have time to go into it. We've gone into this at other times. But technically, they had a right. But they were a little too zealous. They were a little too rash. And, like Rashi brings in several places, that Yaakov did not consider them their sons because they not lo eitzu. They didn't come to ask counsel. If they're sons of Yaakov, then they should come and ask counsel. But we do see a trait here in Levi. We see a trait. Why did Levi go and kill off the town of Shechem? Because he wanted to protect the honor of Dinah. And why did he go and was he interested in killing Yosef? Because he wanted to protect the honor of Yehuda and the future of Klal Yisrael, because from Yehuda were supposed to come kings and the Melech HaMashiach. So we do see a nature in Levi where he was willing to go to any extent to be shamer, to guard the purity and the future, the destiny of Klal Yisrael. This we see in Levi. Except not everything he did was the right way. But we see this tendency in him. When Yaakov died in Parshas Vayechi, this is in Vayechi Posuk Hei. In Memches Posuk Hei, Shimon Velevi Achim. Shimon and Levi, you are two of a kind. You are brothers, two of a kind. Kli Chomas Mecherisehem. Your weapons are the weapons of Esav. Your means are the means of Esav, he told them. Your intention is good, but your means, your way to achieve these intentions, you've stolen from Esav. He says this is not the way to do it. Not through shvichas domim, not through murder. B'seidem al tovei nafshi b'kulam al teichet b'giv'apum orgu ish uv'rtzeinem ikru shor. In your wrath you killed a man, this refers to the city of Shechem, uv'rtzeinem ikru shor, and your intention was to destroy the shor. Who was the shor? The bull? B'chor sheire hodolai, this was Yosef. Yosef, who was known as a bull. Oru apum, he oz. And he cursed, he didn't curse them, but he cursed your wrath. He says, cursed is your wrath, because it is so rash. And evrosam ki koshoso, your anger, because it is so hard. And he said, I must divide you from each other. I must divide you up from each other. And the Rashi here explains. Why? Because they were the two that went and killed of Shechem, and they were the two that plotted. Rashi shows how we know they were the two. They were the two that plotted against Yosef. And this is why in Parshas Vayeshev, Vayigash, when they came down to see Yosef, so Yosef went and he took Shimon and he locked him up. He sent them all back and he locked up Shimon. Why did he do that? So Rashi tells us for two reasons. Firstly, he was taking revenge because it was Shimon was the one of the two that wanted to kill him. So he locked up Shimon. And secondly, he had to divide them because their anger and their zealousness was so much that together he was afraid they could overthrow Egypt, like they overthrew Shechem. So he had to divide them. See, this is what Rashi tells us there. This is in Miketz, Mem Beis Chov Dalet. So not everything was so perfect with Levi, but we still see is he was a zealot. He was a zealot. He had good intentions. But he won't allow anything to stand in the way of these intentions. Yaakov knew these qualities in Levi. And the Rambam tells us that when Yaakov came down to Egypt, the Rambam says this at the beginning of Hilchos Aveir Zora. When Yaakov came down to Egypt, so he. Yaakov taught all of his sons the Torah from Avraham and Yitzchok. V'hivda Levi. And at that time, yet he separated Levi. Umina Rosh. And he made him as a head. V'yeshiva v'yeshiva. In other words, Levi he always made as a Rosh Yeshiva. And he said, you must conduct a yeshiva. L'lamei derech Hashem. V'lishma mitzvahs Avraham, to teach the derech Hashem and the mitzvahs of Avraham. Betzivas, now this was way before, this was when he came down to Egypt. Betzivas bonam shalei yafsikum imnei Levi mamuna achar mamuna. And he commanded his sons that from Levi always should be free to study Torah and to teach Torah shalei tishka halimud, in order that Torah should not be forgotten. And this is how it continued all of the time. And when the Torah started in Egypt, and there was a tremendous pressure there to follow the ways of the Egyptians. She says, everyone was tempted, chutz mishevet Levi, with the exception of Levi. She'omad b'mitzvahs oveis u'me'elam le'ovad shevet Levi avedis kechofim. Levi always stood, again, he had the strength. He always stood in the ways of his father and never forgot the mitzvahs of Abraham. Where did Levi finally perfect himself and be zeicher to this? This was much years later. After the 400 years in Egypt, after they went out, and after receiving the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisiso, Posuk Lamed Beis, Posuk Chof Hei, Moshe came down after 40 days on the mountain, And he saw all of a sudden the camp is dancing and singing and yelling and what's going on, and he sees a golden calf and they're serving the golden calf, and he becomes so angry he breaks the Ten Commandments. Meshe sees that the nation is wild. And Meshe saw, how is it possible that here he just brought down the Torah and now they're worshipping Avodah Zorah, idolatry. And Meshe stood at the gates of the camp, and he said, "Mi l'Hashem Eloi?" He says, "Who is faithful to Hashem? Let him come to me. And the rest are enemies." And gathered to Meshe the entire Shevet of Levi. It says, "Kol b'nei Levi." And Rashi brings Mikan. From here we see that not one of the tribe of Levi served the idol. And he said, Israel, this is what Hashem says. Now here they had a chance to use the sword in accordance to instructions. Simu ish harbe al yerecha. Take the swords by your sides. Ivru v'shuvu mishal eshar b'machaneh. And go from one gate to another in the camp. V'hirgu ish es ochiv. And you must kill your brethren. Ish es reyu v'ish es kreve. Your friend and your relative. Those who served idolatry. And Levi did like Meshe said. It wasn't easy. But Levi did like Meshe said. And that day there were 3,000 people killed. Today with this you have become dedicated to Hashem. This day is a brocha to Levi. Today you have become dedicated to Hashem. How? Atem ahorgi meisom bedvar zeh tischanchu liyeis kahanim lamokom. If you're strong enough, where all through this you never worshipped idolatry, and not only that, but you were willing to take your swords and go to war against your own families that did, then now you have become zecher to become kahanim. This was the dedication. And it was at that time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu disqualified, it was supposed to be all of the firstborn of every family was supposed to be the Kohen. The firstborn of every family, regardless of where they came from. And Hashem disqualified them all because they served idolatry. And in his stead, he appointed Levi. So this is where Levi became officially prepared for this. They were for years and for generations, but officially this is where they became distinguished, separated, and from them was to become Aaron. And that's what states in our parsha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that in place of the firstborn I will take you. So this is the story of one of the most illustrious families that we have in Klal Yisrael. Incidentally, it's very important to mention, to add to this luster, Kohos had a son. Kohos had several sons. But Kohos had a son by the name of Amram. And Amram had three children, Miriam, Aaron and Meshe. And Yocheved, the mother of Meshe, also came. She was a daughter of Levi. So they also were in this illustrious family. This gives us somewhat of an insight as to what were the responsibilities of the Shevet Levi, and why they were separated, and what were their beginnings.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.